At some time or another, you've picked up an offense. Now, you got the choice to put it down, friend, but you don't. Pretty soon, you're carrying all these offenses, and you have no spiritual energy to do anything else because you're busy carrying all these offenses. And this is why Jesus died, so you could let go of all the garbage. Not just so that you could be forgiven of your sins, but that you have the power to forgive other people.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Senior Pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today, David McGee is teaching through 2 Samuel chapter 3. And here in the studio, we have one of David McGee's assisting pastors, Neil, to share with us.
Bob, we're closing out chapter 3 of 2 Samuel, and Pastor David's going to be talking about not holding offenses. Now, this is hard for any of us, right? Not getting angry and holding on to it, even when it's people that have clearly done us wrong.
You know, when you're talking about offenses, there are offenses we pick up for other people that we have no business messing with either.
Sometimes for our spouse, and even sometimes for our kids, even for our coworkers. But he wants us to lay those things down, and we're going to be challenged with that today.
Hey, so let's get right to it. David McGee, continuing verse by verse through 2 Samuel chapter 3.
Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 3. For those who haven't been with us, I'm going to kind of set up the chapter, what's going on, and also kind of just a refresher for us who have been here. 2 Samuel is a continuation of 1 Samuel. We believe that part of these books, which were originally one book in the Hebrew Bible, part of them were written by Samuel, and we believe 2 Samuel was written primarily by Nathan and Gad, perhaps. We're not positive, but... And now we're into the story of David. 1 Samuel dealt with Samuel and then Saul, and David comes on the scene in 1 Samuel, and now David is kind of a main player, if you will, central focus of the book. And what's going on now is there's a civil war between David and the remaining son of Saul is what's going on. And there's contentiousness, and there's battles, and there's fighting, and there's civil war in the nation of Israel. And people are getting hurt. So that's kind of the setup. Now, chapter 3, verse 1 of 2 Samuel. It says, "Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker." So in the civil war, the house of David was winning. We talked about last week how the men that were with David were very experienced in fighting and in battles, where the people that were left remaining with Saul were those people who didn't engage in the last battle that Saul was in, where he was killed and also three of his four sons. Verse 2. Sons were born to David in Hebron. His firstborn was Amnon by Adonijah the Jezreelitess. His second, Chileab by Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. The third, Absalom, the son of Maachah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. The fifth, Shephathiah, of the son of Abital. And the sixth, Ithream, by David's wife, Eglah. Now, these were born to David in Hebron. Verse 6. "Now, it was so, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner was strengthening his hold on the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiya. So Ishbosheth said to Abner, 'Why have you gone into my father's concubine?'" Verse 8. "Then Abner became very angry at the words of Ishbosheth and said, 'Am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I showed loyalty to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers and to his friends, and you have not delivered you into the hand of David, and you charge me today with a fault concerning this woman. May God do so to Abner and more also, if I do not do for David as the Lord has sworn to him, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan to Beersheba.' And he could not answer Abner another word because he feared him." Verse 12, "Then Abner sent messengers on his behalf to David saying, 'Whose is the land?' Saying also, 'Make your covenant with me, and indeed my hand shall be with you to bring all Israel to you.' And David said, 'Good, I will make a covenant with you. But one thing I require of you, you shall not see my face unless you first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come to see my face.' So David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, 'Give me my wife Michal, who I betrothed to myself, for 100 foreskins of the Philistines.' And Ishbosheth. Let's all say it together. Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, from Paltiel the son of Laish. Then her husband went along with her to Bahurim, weeping behind her. So Abner said to him, "Go return," and he returned. And Abner had communicated with the elders of Israel, saying, "Time passed, you were seeking for David to be king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and the hand of all their enemies.'" Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? Abner's like, yes, God's anointed David. Can I remind you of something? Abner's been fighting against David for about 7.5 years. But all of a sudden, he's come to this realization that David is anointed to be king over Israel. Abner's a smart guy. They're losing. Abner wants to fight for the winning side. He leaves the losing side, and all of a sudden comes to this revelation. It's kind of questionable. David, man, David is a, he's got a lot of wisdom. As you look at his interaction and leadership and with the people, he asked for Michal to come to him to be his wife again. Michal was Saul's daughter, who Saul gave to David. But then when David fell out of favor with Saul, Saul gave her to another man. David asked for her back again. Why? I think it was to build a bridge to those who were following Saul. I think there's a lot going on. We'll talk about that another time between David and Michal. But I think David, in his wisdom, God-given wisdom, is making this call. Do you understand God will give you wisdom beyond what you're able, beyond what you know, beyond your experience? God will give you wisdom. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask for it. God will give it to you. And you know that another source of wisdom, as you read the Bible, as you study the Bible, do you understand you will be empowered with wisdom? Sometimes people ask me stuff, and it amazes me people would ask me anything. But they ask me something, and I tell them, and even sometimes after I tell them, I'm like, wow. That's kind of cool. Never heard that before. That's got to be God. And what I'm doing is speaking out of the wisdom that this book and God has placed in my life. And if you just simply walk according to the Bible, teach according to the Bible, talk to people according to the Bible, you'll seem wise. Wise because this book is filled with wisdom. Life lesson. Pray for God to give you the strength and wisdom to face the difficult decisions of life. Pray for God to give you the strength and wisdom to face the difficult decisions of life. Here, David's in a very difficult place. He makes a great decision. He could have said, you know what? I'm going to keep fighting you, Abner. I want to win by war. That's not what he does. He makes a very good decision. Why? Because he's asking continuously for wisdom. And Abner's decided to let David be his king, it would seem. Verse 19, "And Abner also spoke in the hearing of Benjamin. Then Abner also went to speak in the hearing of David in Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel in the house of Benjamin. So Abner and 20 men with him came to David at Hebron, and David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. Then Abner said to David, 'I will arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord the king, that they may make a covenant with you, and that you may reign over all that your heart desires.' So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace." Now, let me ask you a question. Who is really delivering Israel to David? Is it Abner? Not really. He's just the person standing in front of David. God is the one delivering Israel to David. Remember that. Remember that next time, perhaps, that you get a raise at work. That the man that's standing or the woman that's standing in front of you is not your source. It's not the source of your blessing. It's not the source of your needs getting met. Your source is God. And that person that's sitting in front of you is the vehicle that God is using. Verse 22. "At that moment, the servants of David and Joab came from a raid and brought much spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away and he had gone in peace. And when Joab and all the troops that were with him had come, they told Joab, saying, 'Abner the son of Ner came to the king and he sent him away and he has gone in peace.'" Now, last chapter, Abner killed Joab's brother in a battle. Abner actually warned the brother and said, "Quit following me. If you keep following me, we're going to have it out. You're going to lose." And that's what happened. Verse 24. "Then Joab came to the king and said, 'What have you done? Look, Abner came to you. Why is it that you sent him away and he's already gone?'" Verse 25. "Surely you realize that Abner, the son of Ner, came to deceive you, to know you're going out and you're coming in, and to know all that you are doing." David had the wisdom not to listen to this guy's counsel. Because this was bad counsel. This guy was saying, you know what? He's just coming to spy on you. Let's continue on with the war. And David has the wisdom and the perception to see the war is just killing a lot of people, and it's a time for making peace. Be careful. Because whenever there's a time to make a peace with somebody, there will come somebody that stirs up that thing. If you want peace in a relationship and you're about to make a phone call, send an email, somebody will come and go, I can't believe you're not going to email them, are you? My goodness, after what they did to you, you're just going to forgive them? Oh, that's not right. Careful. Joab would have done well to follow his king in this. Even though he disagreed with him, he should have followed David's leadership, but he doesn't. And he ends up suffering, and a lot of people end up suffering. Now, let me point out again, Joab is David's nephew. So there's some family stuff going on.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be back with more in just a moment. But first, if you haven't been to our website at crossthebridge.com yet, what are you waiting for? Go to crossthebridge.com to learn more about how listeners like you are helping get the life-changing truth of God's Word to more people through the radio, internet, and mobile technologies. At crossthebridge.com, you can also check out our broadcast schedule, listen to more teaching from Pastor David, and sign up for Pastor David's free daily devotional. And there's more there, too. So visit crossthebridge.com today. Now, here's Pastor David as he continues sharing verse by verse.
Verse 26, and when Joab had gone from David's presence, he sent messengers after Abner, brought him back from the well of Sarah, but David did not know it. Now when Abner had returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him privately, and there stabbed him in the stomach, so that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. Joab wanted revenge. But you know what? This isn't really a revenge. Because Asahel had been killed in a battle. And actually been warned by Abner himself. Joab committed murder. They weren't in a battle. And he took advantage of the fact that there were some peace talks going on. That's interesting. It's in Hebron. And notice he took him to the gate. Some interesting stuff here. Hebron was what was called a city of refuge. Meaning that if you had messed up, even to the point of killing somebody, you could go to the city of refuge and they would determine whether you were at fault or whether you could not, or whether you were not at fault. And it was a place of protection where you could not be messed with. But notice what he does. Calls him to the city gate where he's not under the protection anymore. You understand there's a protection over the body of Christ? When you're plugged into a body and you're active part of that fellowship, there's just a protection that goes with that. You're in a body, you're hearing the Word of God, you've got relationships where somebody will go, oh, you shouldn't do that, or you really shouldn't be thinking that way. And once you move out of that body, it never goes as well. I've heard so many stories after stories. Oh, and I know if you're sitting here tonight and I don't have to be in a church to worship God and I can follow God without going to church. Theoretically, yeah, maybe. But you know what I've in every conversation I've ever had with somebody that made that statement, you know what? I've gotten to the point and I said, oh, you can? Yeah. How's it going?
Well, it's not going real well.
Right. We need one another. God made it that way. See, one of us is like a big toe, and the other's a thumb, and I guess I'm the mouth. and somebody else is the eye, and we all work together as the body of Christ, and we all need one another. This is a city of refuge. That's why the whole, the whole thing about, well, come into the city of refuge, let's figure out what's wrong with you. Thing doesn't work. This is a city of refuge. This is a place, it's a safe place where you can say, you know what, I'm messed up. I'm really struggling with stuff. We won't beat you up or beat you down. If you share your struggles with somebody and they beat you up or beat you down, I want to hear about it. Because I don't want to have that kind of place. This has to be a shelter. Hebron was supposed to be a shelter. It wasn't. It's interesting. This verse tells us why Joab killed him. It says, for the blood of Asahel. Actually reading one of the commentaries said that he did it for the honor of Saul. It's like right there in the verse. That he did it because he killed his brother. And again, maybe you're going, well, revenge, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. No. His brother was killed in a battle. He murdered this man. This is not an eye for an eye. And it was in a city of refuge. And why did he do it? Because, oh, Because he picked up an offense when the man killed his brother. I love that saying, picked up an offense. Let me explain. When you get angry about something or somebody, you have a choice before you to either let it go or to pick up an offense. Now, what everybody in this room has done before at some time or another is you've picked up an offense.
I'm mad about this. I'm going to carry this around. Think about this. How you doing?
How am I doing?
Look, picked up this offense. Let me tell you all about this offense.
And friend, it's not too much longer before something else happens.
Oh, now I got another offense. I'm mad because somebody said this, looked at me wrong, didn't say hey to me. Carry that around. How you doing? How am I doing? Look, I got this and I got that.
And then something else happens.
Well, I got to tuck this here because I got these hands full. I put that over there. How you doing? Look at me. How am I doing? Why you ask how I'm doing?
And then you're living a life where you're picking up offenses. Now, you got the choice to put it down, friend. But you don't. Pretty soon you're carrying all these offenses and you have no spiritual energy to do anything else because you're busy carrying all these offenses. And this is why Jesus died, so you could let go of all the garbage. Not just so that you could be forgiven of your sins, but that you have the power to forgive other people. And Jesus made it plain in the scriptures that if you really understand how much you've been forgiven of, you'll forgive other people. I know. And we went through this room. I understand. There's some horror stories in here. I could share some horror stories. I could share some stuff and you go, man, I can't believe somebody did that to you. I'm not going to. Never will. You know what? I've let it go. I'm not carrying that offense around. I don't want to live like that. There's no way to live and no way to die. And surely some bad things have happened to you at the hands of other people. But you know what? That's nothing compared to what they did to Jesus. Jesus was perfect, and they nailed him to a cross. And friend, you're here, you're living, you're breathing, you're walking, you're not nailed to a cross. Whatever's happened to you may be serious, it may be hurtful, it may be painful, but it pales in comparison to what they did to Jesus. And this is what Jesus was talking about when he told the little story, and he said, you know what, there was one guy that owed a little bit of money. And there was one guy that owed a lot of money to the king. And the man that owed a lot of money to the king, the king looked at him and said, you know what, I'm going to forgive your debt. The guy went out into the street. He sees somebody that owes him a little something. And he says, you know what? I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to throw you in prison until you pay me what I owe you. Until you pay me what you owe me. The king heard about it and said, bring the guy to me. He said, you know what? I forgave your debt and you didn't forgive somebody else. You're going to prison. You understand the significance of that story? What offenses are you carrying around? Maybe something happened recently. Maybe something happened years ago and you're still carrying it around. Don't carry that around anymore. Let it go. You think it's hurting the person that hurt you to carry it around? It's bogging you down, man. If you continue that long enough, you will be bitter, you will be cynical, and you will be useless to the kingdom of God. But you have to make the decision. If you've picked it up, you got to sit it down. Life lesson here, if you have ever picked up an offense, tonight can be the night you sit it down and are made free from it. Let me reread that. If you have ever picked up an offense, tonight can be the night you sit it down and are made free from it. If you've ever picked one up, you can sit it down tonight. Now, don't sit there and think, well, you know what? At one day, I will sit it down. No, tonight. Sit it down tonight. Don't carry it out. You carried it in. Don't carry it out. Jesus died so that you wouldn't be burned down under all that stuff. Verse 28. Afterward, when David heard it, he said, my kingdom and I are guiltless before the Lord forever of the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and there never fail to be in the house of Joab one who has a discharge or is a leper, who leans on a staff or falls by the sword or who lacks bread. You understand, medical science has proven the fact that if you walk around and you're bitter and you're cynical, you will be more prone to all kinds of diseases, heart disease, cancer, all kinds of things. Verse 30, so Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner because he had killed their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. Then David said to Joab and all the people who were with him, tear your clothes, gird yourselves with sackcloth and mourn for Abner. And King David followed the coffin. He led the procession. That's an interesting note to understand. David is actually going to make Joab his military commander. after this. David understood, no leader is perfect. Verse 32, so they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. And all the people wept, and the king sang a lament over Abner and said, should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, nor your feet put into fetters, as a man falls before wicked men, so you fell. He didn't die in battle. It's a conspiracy. It took him out. Then all the people wept over him again. Abner, he died a foolish death, if you will. And I just wonder, I'll just throw this out. I just wonder if Abner would have said to Joab, you know what, Joab, I'm not going to the city gates. I'm in the city of refuge. I'm going to hang out here. If that would have made any difference. Verse 35, and when all the people came to persuade David to eat food while it was still day, David took an oath saying, God, do so to me and more also, if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down. David was grieved. He was grieved by what had happened. How graceful is that? This man had been fighting against him for 7.5 years. But he had declared a peace, and David was so gracious, he immediately forgave him. And then was walking in such peace with the man that he was mourning his death. Verse 36, now all the people took note of it, and it pleased them, since whatever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's intent to kill Abner, the son of Ner. Then the king said to his servants, do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? And David says, and I am weak today, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, they're too harsh for me. The Lord shall repay the evildoer according to his wickedness. In the sons of Zeruiah, this is Joab and Abishai that David is referring to. He's saying, these guys are hardcore. I'm going to let God deal with them. Could David have dealt with them? Oh, absolutely. He could have done something right then and there, but he chose not to. Why? He was trusting God. Friend, if you trust God with your livelihood, with your finances, if you trust God with your children, if you trust God with your friends, why can't we trust God with our enemies? Life lesson here. Trust the Lord with people, including those who have done us wrong. Trust the Lord with people, including those who have done us wrong. See, even though David was king, he was going to leave the decision up to God to deal with these people. I'm going to challenge you to the same decision. Because I guarantee you, you've walked in here with stuff. You've walked in with offenses. You've walked in with wounds. Perhaps that friends or family or maybe another church, maybe another pastor. How long are you going to carry that around? How long are you going to retell that story? How long are you going to keep going in circles around that? When are you going to let that go? Jesus died so that you could let that go. Yes, he died to forgive you of your sins, but he also died so that you don't have to walk in bondage and carry all these offenses around. You know, a butterfly is a beautiful thing. I think one of the reasons a butterfly loves to fly is because for so long he was in a cocoon. But he's never really comfortable in the cocoon because he was meant to fly. Let go of the cocoon. Let go of the offenses. Let go of the woundings. And do it tonight. Or you can continue to stir up the pain and the heartache and relive it every time you retell a story. The choice is yours. You can put it down tonight. Peace is at your door. He's knocking at it. Will you answer? Or would you just have Jesus continue to knock at your door?
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that he died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask him to forgive you. Please, pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. Jesus said he would not turn anybody away who comes to him, and he came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Now, before we go, in a world that seems chaotic at every turn, Jesus wants you to experience peace this year. He wants you to experience His shalom, which is wholeness, joy, and hope, no matter what the circumstances are that you face every day. Neil, do we have a resource that can help our listeners with this?
Yeah, Bob. Pastor David wrote a simple book that can show you how to experience this shalom that you were just talking about. It's easy to read and full of great analogies to share powerful biblical truths. Cross the Bridge to Life, Discover Your Adventure will be a blessing to any of our listeners, Bob.
You know, that's a great gift to thank any of our listeners that financially support us to help more people cross the bridge from death to life. Go to crossthebridge.com to request your copy today.
Also, each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional. Life lessons to consider, daily reading plan, and even biblical thoughts to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of Pastor David.
Yes, Neil, and it's free and easy to sign up today at crossthebridge.com. Thanks again for listening, folks, and we hope you'll join us next time as we continue studying verse by verse through 2 Samuel.